All right. Put your hands together one more time, if you would. We are starting a new series today called The Armor of God. Say, The Armor of God. And I believe this is very important in our walk with God. And this, the armor concept is more of a illustration or a imagery, because it's not a physical armor you're to put on. But what is trying to come across in the concept that we see from the scripture is that there's principles that we need to make sure we not only apply in our lives, but hang on to in life. Have you ever gone through something and thought, you know what, I knew better and I knew to do this, but for some reason I just didn't do it that way. And later, you know what I mean, I actually got bit by it. You know what I mean, I didn't come out winning that situation or getting the deal or whatever because I didn't follow what I knew to do. And sometimes it's not that we have heard it or we don't know, but sometimes we let go. It's not that we haven't heard it. It's not always that we don't know, but it's sometimes that we let go of the biblical principles that God has given us to be like armor, so that when we are challenged in life, because Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. The beginning of that video was a different translation. I like I said frustrations, because sometimes we have frustrating moments, do we not? But be of good cheer. That means get happy. Look to your neighbor and say, get happy. Come on, now you do it with a smile, because I'm watching you. Look, say, get happy and show them how to smile, just in case they don't know how to smile. Can you imagine having a conversation with somebody and say, you know what, you're going to have some hard times, but smile. Why? Jesus said, smile, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And that almost sounds crazy. That's like looking to somebody and say, you know what, you're going to run into some major financial problems next year. But get happy. Why? Because I'm rich. Well, what's that got to do with me? How can I be happy that you're rich if I'm going through a hard time financially? Unless there is an unseen connection here. Unless there's something going on that from the natural first perspective we don't see. And so God has created a list, 7 key principles that we need to hang on to in life. Because in life, God doesn't want you to be a victim. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. In life, God doesn't want you walking around afraid of your own shadow. Can I get an amen? Because we're going to see that the armor of God covers everything but the back part of you, because God never intended for you to run from the enemy, but to run toward the enemy. And so what we see through Scripture is that God's given us principles so that we could, in life, when we fight a fight. Now, life shouldn't be a constant fight. Let me tell you, there's a balance to every truth. Life is not a constant fight. If you live in a rhythm where it's one battle after the next battle, you need to reevaluate. Maybe there's something that's not in alignment. The old mindset years ago was that if you ran into a problem or a situation, it's something that you did. And that could be true. You know, I mean, I've had people say, oh, I got to pray for my boss. They're just so hard on me. And then you find out later that they're late to work every day. I mean, well, that's something you created. So that could be true, but that's not always true. You can create your own battles, but sometimes you can do everything right and still have a battle. But if life is nothing more than just battles, something's wrong there. But if life is no battles, there's something wrong there too. You're taking too many sleeping pills. You're sleeping through life. Because in life, you're going to have challenges, trials. Jesus said one day in the Gospel of John 10:10, which is a verse we're very familiar with, he said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Life and life more abundantly. We call it the dynamic life. That's the best life that Jesus has for you, not only in heaven and eternity, but something that also affects the way you live today, that affects your checkbook, that affects your relationships with your spouse, your family, your careers, your peace of mind, your health. Every facet of you. But within the context of that, we have to realize and be aware of that he also said that there is a thief whose purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a thief that's there to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, he said that so you're aware that there is a devil out there. The Bible says who walks around, roams around like a lion, looking. But that doesn't mean you have to be afraid. That doesn't mean that you have to be scared. Because the life that God wants for you, Jesus made it very clear after he said that. He said, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So the possibility, the potential, the reality of what God wants, the will of God for your life is written by God in his word that he wants you to have a dynamic life. But don't forget that there is a thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Because there's a tendency when we begin to enjoy just what God has, we can let our guard down and let the enemy try to steal it. But he doesn't have to have the right to steal it. We can stop him from stealing. We can stop him from killing. We can stop him from trying to destroy our life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so what we're talking about in this series is going to be the seven principles that we need to hang on to be victorious in life. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this moment, this opportunity, in the divine time of your will. And I ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Help us to receive what you want us to receive. Help us to keep it in the balance and perspective that you want us to have. Jesus, we vow to give you all the praise and the glory, for the attention is not to be drawn to the enemy, but to you who brings us final and complete victory in every area. We thank you for that. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn it with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Are you happy today?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6, let me just read it, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to notice something. Do what? Be strong. Shout, be strong. Do it again. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. The Bible said, let them who are weak say that I am strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
It did not say, feel strong. For the rhythm of life and the highs and lows of our emotions, our physical body, are just the rhythm, there's times that you don't feel strong. It didn't say, finally, brethren, feel strong. It said, be strong. There's a difference in being strong and feeling strong. For we've all seen people who thought they felt strong try to pick a fight with somebody bigger than them because they felt strong, only to find out that they were not strong enough. Come on. They might enter the ring, I like watching boxing matches. They might enter the ring feeling, I'm so strong, I'm going to just beat this guy in one round. But when they got into the fight, what they felt was not a reality to what the reality was. They were not strong enough. They felt strong. They felt super strong. But they weren't strong enough because their strength was based on how they feel. It did not say feel strong. It said to be strong. Why is that important? Because you might not feel strong, but that doesn't mean you're weak. Because your strength is not based on how you feel. It's based on who you are. It did not say be strong in your emotions. It did not say be strong in your perspective. It said be strong in the Lord. Come on. What we have to understand is even when we feel emotionally weak, you can speak to yourself and speak strength because your strength doesn't come from your emotions. It's not a hype. It's not an emotion. It's an inner peace and strength that comes from God. Be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Where? In the Lord. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm emphasizing this because later we're going to come back to it, and it's so important for you to understand why. God needs you and wants you to be strong. God wants you to be strong. God needs you to be strong. Not in just what you can do, but what he can do. If your strength is just in what you can do, and this is a part of the rhythm of life, dealing with struggles and challenges, because in the rhythm of life, especially when things are going good, we have a human natural tendency, we all do, to begin to sit back and relax on the successes of our past. Oh, everything's going great. I'm strong. Why? Oh, because I got a lot of money. Because things are going my way. Because people are really liking me. But Paul says we need to forget those things are which behind us. Because even the successes can delude us and redirect us thinking that we're strong within ourselves. He didn't say be strong within yourself. He said to be strong in the Lord. God needs you and wants you to be strong in him. In Joshua 1:8, when Joshua was transitioning to be the leader and Moses had been transitioned to be out, God told Joshua, listen, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. That's a good thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, it would be scary enough to try to step into the footprints and the shoes of Moses. But when God shows up and says, Joshua, the way I was with Moses, let me think about that. I just know that minute had to be real long to give Joshua time to think about it. Let's see, with Moses, why? You spoke to him with Moses. You did amazing, mighty miracles to him. Let's see, with Moses, you defeated the armies of the strongest army on the planet. With Moses, you gave your people freedom from 400 years of slavery. With Moses, you used to take the wealth of Egypt out toward the promised land. With Moses, wow, that's a pretty good deal. Okay, God, I'm with you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. But if you look in Joshua 1, he says, only be thou strong and courageous. God needs you to be strong. God needs you to be strong. God needs you to be strong. Let me say it again. God doesn't need you to feel emotionally strong. God needs you to be strong. Joshua, only be thou strong and courageous. Only be strong. Let me just turn to it real quick. You have your Bibles, Joshua. Are you with me today? Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance of the land. Notice here, he's telling him, I'm with you. I just need you to be strong because we got things to do. I'm with you. I just need you to be strong because we have things to buy. I'm with you. I just need you to be strong because we have places to go. I'm with you. I just need you to be strong because there's an inheritance you have to get into your hands. There's a possession. There's some money out there. There's some positions out there. There's some opportunities out there with your name on it that God has for you if you learn to be strong. Can you imagine getting to heaven only to find out everything that you've been praying for was available to you on the journey of life was sitting there with your name on it, but you didn't learn to be strong, so you never received the inheritance. See, we want God just to materialize it out of the sky. Oh, isn't that cool? It might not work that way. Say, it might not work that way. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people, you shall divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give you. God has got his name and his word on the line here. God has made a promise. Joshua, I've promised people that maybe you haven't had a chance to talk to. I've promised people that are before you. I've got my word on the line on this one, Joshua. And I am well, the Bible says that if God said it, can't he do it? He watches over his word to perform it. Let all men be liars and God be true. God has his word on the line for you. All he needs you to do is learn to be strong. Come on, somebody talk to me. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
You might have an emotional low day. You might feel emotionally weak. You might feel, God, I don't think I can do it. That's because you're trying to be strong in yourself. That's because you're trying to be strong in your emotions. That's trying because, well, God, I went through a hard time. You're trying to be strong in your own experience. But there is another level of strength that can reside on the inside of you that will propel you to the place of promise. That's when you learn to be strong in the Lord and the power, for greater is he that is in you. I'm going to stir somebody up today who's been living the rhythm of life and you've been hitting the wall of God. It seems impossible. That's impossible to you. But with God, all things are possible. If we can learn to turn our focus onto him and learn to be strong instead of just trying to feel strong, because there's time, you're not going to feel strong when it's time to charge the enemy. Are you listening to me? This is practical. Because the devil doesn't show up to attack you when you're at your top. He doesn't come to attack you when you feel your best. The devil strategically will attack you when he thinks you're the weakest. And if you look to see how you feel in the moment, well, I'll just pass today because it's really, you know, I'm not feeling it. Maybe tomorrow, maybe I get into a good Bible study. Or maybe Pastor will say something that will inspire me Sunday and I'll deal with you on Monday. You might not have a Sunday Monday. You might be standing, oh, I just get my prayer partners together and pray with me, and they'll stand behind me. Maybe someone play the organ, I feel better, and I'll deal with it. You might not have an organ or prayer partner next to you. You might find yourself standing in the midst of the darkest midnight moment of your life, and you can't find no one. No one's phone is answering. You're getting voicemail, and you're not feeling God emotionally. But I'm here to tell you, you might not feel God emotionally, but Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's standing right next to you. He's holding you up. If you can learn to get your eyes on what you should be looking at, you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not how you feel emotionally. You can say to yourself, I might not be feeling strong, but praise God. God said, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the strength. Are you with me today? I'm not telling you you're going to feel on top when you fight the battles of life. You might feel horrible. You might feel under. You might feel fallen, but you can grab yourself, shake yourself, and say, wait a minute, I might not have an organ player, a Sunday service, a prayer partner. I might feel busted and disgusted and all by myself, but there's someone who won't leave me, and I can be strong. God's got his word on the line if I'm just willing to be strong. I feel like running. I feel like quitting. I feel like crying. I feel like going back. I feel like falling down. I feel like I'm crumbling. He didn't ask you what you felt like. You got to rise up within yourself and say, I'm strong. I'm strong. Not because of what an emotion says. Your emotions will come and go the way you want them to be, up and down. It don't matter about your emotions. The question is, how are you? I'm strong. Be strong. Be strong and good courage, for unto this people you'll divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear to the fathers to give them. God's got his word on the line. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law of the word, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, that you may have success wherever you go. We're not here to deviate. The devil will try to get you to deviate from the plan of God. When you're not strong, when you begin to weak, you begin to waver. When you begin to waver, you begin to negotiate. James says that let a person who just keeps changing their beliefs, it's like a person in a boat that's being like waves being tossed to and fro. Let not that person think he can receive anything. Because on the journey of destiny to where God has called you in the race, your race of life, the devil will try to get you to negotiate an alternate route. Don't you hate seeing those signs? Got to go a different route. I don't know that route. This is the route I know. Yeah, but we got construction. Well, when there's construction, the devil try to, when there's challenges, when the path is not smooth, the devil will try to get you to go a different route. But we can rise above. We can go over. Come on, somebody. Because we have to be determined not to let go of what God has said. We have to be determined not to turn to the right or left, but keep focused to what our Father has told us. I don't care what the year is. I don't care what the culture is saying. I don't care if it seems in style or out of style. That's irrelevant. If God said it, let's do it. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's keep moving to the direction of because the greatest opportunity of compromise will be on the doorstep of your victory. And right before it's about to come, the devil will try to talk you out of it, telling you it's taking too long. It won't happen. If God would have done it, he would have done it already. Why don't we just sit down and rest? Why do we keep striving to move forward? But I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. You keep your eyes to what God told you to do. You keep moving forward. Are you with me today? Because he's a liar and there's no truth in him. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Notice, how do we do that? That this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong. Over this next series, we're going to saturate our minds with the principles of God's word that we need for in the challenges of life to hang on to, because it is important, it is necessary, it is vital that you do not let go of these truths. It's just not that you have I heard them or haven't I heard them. It's a matter of hanging on to them and not letting them deter from the direction of your path. You hang on to them, you stand strong, and you can have victory. And when you have victory in the battles of life, you advance in life. I didn't think they would get a shout. Because a lot of times we want to be an overcomer. We just don't want to battle it. We want to be a giant killer. We just don't want to face giants. We want the success. We just don't want the opportunity for failure. We want the sure thing. Give me the easy, sure thing, Jesus. Well, how much trust does it take when you can do it in your own ability? If there's no risk, that means there's complete trust in yourself. And when you get into complete trust in yourself, you're in a dangerous place because you're not strong enough. Let me explain or show you something in the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 if you have your Bible. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to start reading at verse 14. Chapter 11 of Luke. And Jesus was casting out a devil and it was dumb. Say, a dumb devil.
Dumb devil.
Come on, say, dumb devil.
Dumb devil.
That's not really what it meant, but I'm having... You lighten up a little. You start talking about warfare and people start freaking out and get all somber. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You count it all joy. Come on, somebody. He was casting out a devil and it was dumb. And it came to pass that when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils by Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now notice, I want you to pay attention to what's being said here. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house itself falls. I want you to understand here, Jesus is teaching them a principle. This is a principle that works regardless of the kingdom. Doesn't matter whose camp it's in. This is a principle that works everywhere. Say everywhere. What is that principle? That if a house divided against itself, a kingdom divided against itself, it will not stand. It will not stand. Right? So he goes on, verse 18. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? So he's not wanting the devil to stand. He's not wanting the devil to be successful. But he's showing them, teaching them a principle that works not only in the kingdom of light, but also in the kingdom of darkness. It doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved. This principle works for everybody. It works in business. It works at home. It works in ministry. It works in relationships. This works everywhere. Notice, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your Judges. Verse 20. But if I with the finger of God, that's the authority of the kingdom of God or the Holy Spirit, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. I'm telling you, there's something here. A lot of people think the kingdom of God is just heaven. Couldn't be. It's the authority of God. When a strong man, notice now, we're still talking principles that works on either camps, right? Verse 21. When a strong man, when a what?
Strong man.
How strong is a strong man? It's relevant, right? I'm strong. Well, how strong are you? It's relevant. It all depends what you are matching up to. You might be strong to one person, but weak to another person, right? So he says, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods, his possessions are in peace. When a strong man who's armed, when he's the strongest one, he's keeping his possessions. He's keeping his house. No one's messing with his stuff, not messing with his clothes, not messing with his car, not messing with his TV on the wall. Are you with me today? I'm just working. Not messing with his marriage, not messing with his career, not messing with his job, not messing with his bank account, not messing with his credit, not messing with his... He's stronger. If he's stronger, he's safe. When a strong man armed keeps his palace... His goods are in peace, verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. When a stronger, say stronger.
Stronger.
How strong is a stronger person? Just stronger than the strong, right? But when a stronger, and this is a principle that works in all camps, right? When a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. Now, I have always read this, when a stronger than he comes and overcomes him, then he could take his goods, spoil his goods. But there's something missing that is in this that I've missed over the years. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he does what? He takes from him, notice what he does first. He takes from him all of his armor, wherein he trusted, and then divides his spoils. See, John 10:10, Jesus said, a thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil's there to steal, kill, and destroy out of your life. But Jesus has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The only way the devil can steal from you is if he can get you to quit trusting in your armor. See, there's a backup plan. Because if you're stronger, he can't even get to the armor side of it. But there's a natural rhythm and tendencies of life to begin to trust in our own ability. And when the devil shows up and you are trusting in your strength, he might be stronger. But when you're strong in his, in God's strength, when you are strong in the strength of God and the power of his might, guess what? The devil's no match. And it would be ideal if we stayed there. But we have a rhythm of not staying there. Because in the rhythm of life, even in success, we begin to trust in our own ability. And when we begin to trust in our own ability, the devil tries to show up. Because when you think you're strong enough, you begin to think you're strong in yourself. He shows up to show you that he's a little stronger than you. That's why he says, be strong in the Lord. Not feel strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. Not feel strong in yourself. Because when you just work on how you feel strong today in yourself, the devil can be stronger than you, but he can't be stronger than him. Be strong in the Lord. And so if the devil can get you in a position where you're depending on your own strength, he can show up and try to overcome you. And in the process of trying to overcome you, his goal is to get you to quit trusting in the armor that God's given you. The armor is not a physical, natural armor. It's principles of God's word that you need to have so a part of you that you won't stop trusting. But there will be a challenge for you to stop trusting in one of these seven areas of the armor. And if he can get you to stop trusting in that armor, then he has access. When you stop trusting in what God said in those seven areas of your life, it's like you've opened the door to allow the devil to take what belongs to you. But when you understand the principles here, when you understand that process, let's go back to Ephesians. When you understand that process that the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but he doesn't have a right. When I understand what's going on, I need to understand the battle. I need to understand the strategy. I need to understand warfare. Now, I like war movies. Mel Gibson's done some good ones. Gladiator, Patriot. You ever see that Patriot movie?
Yeah.
Did it ever cross your mind, if once you've seen it the first time, that you look at that British officer and you think, he should have left his kids alone? You ever cross your mind? That guy, what his life, his career, some of you haven't seen the movie, have you? So, okay, he done went to his house, burned his house down, and killed his son, and then moved on. And you think, there was really no rhyme or reason or purpose to it. His son wasn't going to be like a major threat in the military. But he awakened something in the Mel Gibson character. He awakened something that caused him to begin to charge and to go after and hunt him down. In the big picture, he should have just left him alone. He should have just let it go. But out of his arrogance, he killed his son and burned his house down. What am I telling you that? Because when you begin to see what the big scope of things, you're going to shake your head and say, the devil should have just left me alone. He should never touch my marriage. He should never try to destroy my children. He shouldn't attack my health. When you begin to understand the big picture, you're going to be shaking your head and say, that devil, he should have just left good enough alone. I was just comfortable going to church every few Sundays and doing my rhythm and doing my thing. And I love Jesus, but he wasn't a priority. But all of a sudden, something was awakened on the inside of you. And you begin to charge the giant that not only attacked you, but is attacking those around you. And all of a sudden, the game has changed because you became a different person, and all of a sudden you didn't follow the strategy that the devil thought you would follow. You didn't repeat the rhythm that you had established for yourself. You became something more than just a comfortable Christian. You became a giant killer. You became a soldier in the army. You put on the armor of God, and you begin to exercise the authority. Is anybody in the house today? Because I'm talking to people that are waking up, that are looking around, and it's just not about keeping your stuff, but you're beginning to look like David and said, there's a giant that nobody will tackle. There's a problem that no one will challenge. There's something going on that everybody's afraid to talk about, but I'm willing to get on the line because God has placed his word on the line, and I'm looking for a reward, because when you defeat an enemy, there's plunder available. Come on, somebody. Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Woo, this is good. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devices or strategies or wiles of the devil. See, the devil has a strategy. He's got a plan. Woo, but you have authority in the name of Jesus to stand void on that plan, to wreak havoc and confusion at the camps of your enemy. And bring the justice of God to the situation. And walk away with the plunder. Any good soldier knows that when you go to fight, if you win, those who win are rewarded. David's question before he charged Goliath was, what's the reward? Because anybody who's good at battle knows that when you go to fight, if you win, there's a reward. There's not a reward for if you fight. There's not a reward for if you're in the game. The reward comes to those who win. That's why Paul says, run the race to win. Some Christians, there's a lot of Christians in the church world that run the race just to be in the race because they feel they got it covered. He didn't say run the race so you can say you're in the race. He didn't say get in the fight so you can say that you're on the scorecard. He said fight the good fight of faith. Faith, fight to win. Run to win. Because it's when you win, you're rewarded. It's when you win, you're rewarded. And so when you understand that there is opportunities that lie ahead of you that will never be yours unless you're willing to go after it and fight the fight that's necessary to lay hold of what belongs for you, because God's got a plan for you too. And his plan, Jeremiah tells me, is for good and not evil, to be above and not below, to be successful and not a failure. And so there's opportunities on the journey of life with your name on it if you're willing to rise up and become who God God called you to become and lay hold of it. Some of us wait with our hands out for God to deliver everything into our hands. It doesn't work that way. He's given you authority. He's made you a king and a priest. He's given you authority to bind and loose. He wants you in the journey of life to understand what belongs to you. And when you see it, go after it. Take hold of it. And when the devil says you can't have it, say, sorry, devil, I knew you'd be here because you're keeping everybody else away. This is mine. I have authority over it. That means I have the key to unlock the door. It's mine. You can't keep me out, but I can kick you out. Get to stepping, devil. I'm tired of messing with you in this moment. Get to stepping. You've been messing with my health too long. Get stepping out the door. You cannot stay here. Healing is mine. Provision is mine. Peace is mine. Come on, somebody. We let go of the inheritance of God that belongs to us too easily because the devil has detoured us and negotiated us out of it. But you can't negotiate with the lion. You're a part of the lion of the tribe of Judah. You're part of the rhythm of God. You are the body of Christ. You are not here to make peace with the devil. You're here to bring war to the kingdom of darkness to establish the kingdom of light. What does that mean? That means you don't sit passively by just to get enough so you feel comfortable. You're going after all that belongs to you and your God. Come on, somebody, talk to me today. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not that person you've been arguing with. Your enemy is not that person with a bad attitude. Your enemy is not a person. Talking about movies, the Patriot movie, it's always amazing when I go back and watch movies of history, how they used to fight. Can you imagine being the soldier and they give you a gun and show you how to load it and shoot it and they tell you in the British Army, here's how we're going to fight. We're going to line you up on an open field and you're going to sit, stand there or kneel there and you're going to have another line of people facing you and you both pull the trigger. What kind of strategy is that? Because while the general sits on a horse on the hill far away, smiling, because he's not at risk. He's comfortable. Because the odds are, everything being equal, that the army with the most people and the most bullets wins. Right? And so from the natural, you say, I got more than them, so I can allow this to die, they'll die, I'll end up winning. But like in the Patriot movie, he had a different way of fighting. I feel like David who charged the Goliath, and Goliath was looking for a sword and a shield and a spear, but David brought something that Goliath didn't know and couldn't understand. So many times we fight like the world fights, but there's something greater than the way the world does something, the way the world fights, and all of a sudden you begin to operate in the armor that God's given you. And I love that Mel Gibson movie because he decided, because you would think somebody would figure out if I want to take that army down and I don't have as many bullets or as many people, then maybe I shouldn't fight these privates that are shooting me. Maybe I should go after the general. Because if I can kill the general, it's going to mess up with the privates. And that's what he began to introduce the battle plan of attacking top down. See, we spend our lives fighting the enemy from bottom up. We'll fight the people that he's pulling the strings of. And we can't figure out every time we get done. I was talking to one person. She said, Pastor, I'm just struggling because I love the church. And it's like every church, if I go to, after a period of time, people start offending me. And I leave. I said, well, let me tell you, every place you go, you're going to find someone to offend you. Because that's a strategy of the devil. You're fighting, what is she doing? She loves God, good person, but didn't realize she's fighting top down. I mean, top from bottom up. She's fighting bottom up. She's fighting the privates. And the devil's always got an extra private to throw at you. He can always find a person, even in the church, to pull a string and act have him act stupid. Come on. He can even have good people act crazy from time to time. Come on, somebody. You might love Jesus on your way to heaven and you pray and read your Bible, but there is moments of your day or your week or your month when you just didn't act like Jesus. You got a little crazy. But we're not fighting anymore with the privates. We found a better way. Instead of fighting privates working our way up, how about if we just start with the top? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's wrestling with people. That's fighting with people. We can fight against the enemy. Because that general in that army, he thinks he's safe. He thinks he's secure. Because he's on a horse up on the hill away from the harm and danger. But when we understand who we are in Christ, all of a sudden, a stronger than he shows up, a battle plan changes, and now we don't fight with just the people. We go after the enemy, which we have authority over, which we are stronger in God over. Come on, somebody. And we're changing the way that he should have never messed with you. If he was, he should have tried to kill, when he was trying to kill you, he should have killed you before you know. Now you know he's in a lot of trouble. Come on, somebody. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done, stand strong, because when you stand strong and win, you're going to get rewarded. And there are seven principles, seven truths that we're going to talk about that will enable you to stand. When you hang on to them, you will have victory in any and every battle of your life. It doesn't mean it's overnight. It doesn't mean it's quick, but I'm talking about winning, not just having a quick fix. And when you win, you can get rewarded. And over this next series, we're going to talk about the seven principles of God for the battle of your lives, so that you can win. Come on, somebody give God a praise.